Amen. Welcome and God bless you to Heart of Worship Podcast. This is episode 6. By God's grace, we thank the Lord that Amen. It's been going good. We've been getting a lot of feedback, and it's been a blessing. Of course, we got Amado Pastor, Pastor Fabio.
God bless you.
To my right, Amen. Odugi.
God bless you guys.
And our brother, Kola, the worship Amen. Leader.
God bless you guys.
Tonight is going to be a great episode, a very interesting topic. We're on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the infilling versus the empowerment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right now, I believe, Pastor, this topic is going around. Bujine, they're talking about
yes.
this, and we want to shed some light on it. We want to bring some clarity. Amen?
Amen.
Please.
So I believe it's one of those topics that I think through the years, Angelo, it's not uncommon, but I believe the views of it, I feel we need to bring it to a point of clarity.
Amen. Yes.
And I believe in Scripture, and I live by this. If Scripture in itself interprets the Scripture,
that's correct.
We shouldn't be confused. And that's why we have the Bible.
Amen.
So I think the common question, and I believe it's going to serve you as a purpose, audience. Again, we do this podcast because we want to make some things clear for you. All the men here relate to this topic at one point or another. We grew up in church, and there was a lack of clarity when it came to this topic, Angelo. Golia, Dugi.
Yeah.
And sure. I pray that tonight it would be the direction that we need to, at least a step moving forward.
Amen.
Is this the only time we're going to share on this topic? I doubt it because the topic is so broad. By God's grace, for the time that He gives us in this episode, that we want to bring some clarity. I think my first question to you, Angelo, would be, how do I know for sure if the Holy Spirit is in me?
Amen. Amen. Wonderful question, Pastor. It's a question that needs to be asked because I believe that there's some teaching that goes around. And to me, today, you start to think, am I full of the Holy Spirit? Sumandi Oduho. And this is a challenge. And the truth of the matter, if it's not addressed, the enemy that could come in and play a game.
Yeah, very easily. Mm-hmm.
But you want to be sure. I saw Pinel Pastor earlier. This ministry, we hold to Scripture, interpreting Scripture, Shabbat.
Amen.
And this is our goal. Na maro swato. Okay, it's never our word. We're going to look at it in the Bible perspective and give a clear analysis. But I would answer that first, Pastor, with Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14. Dixo mm-hmm. Pinel. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, amen, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
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 For that, I want to say, 1 Corinthians brings a little bit more on that.
Amen.
Now, we said we want Scripture, interpret Scripture. Amen. So,
Dixo
Pino, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit that ano tu pogod, okay? It brings your the Spirit back alive. Te pinjares that you need a Savior. So right there, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who is showing you, hey, you need a Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And that brings you to a repentance. And the Holy Spirit comes to reside on the tute. And then begins the sanctification process. Amen?
Amen. Angelo, perfect. So it's clear to the audience because
yes.
And it's one of those seasons that this has been coming up a lot. Mm-hmm. And let's separate it if we can.
Okay.
So there is that reference that you gave in Ephesians and the reference that you gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So on one side, we believe that the revelation of knowing Jesus is my Savior is truly only by a revelation of the Holy Spirit through the gospel
correct.
Preaching.
That is
okay.
Correct.
So now, moving forward beyond that, because I feel that at times the interpretation that we received over time, that the empowerment has become maybe the sign of salvation, in which Scripture doesn't teach that.
Very good.
So for the audience, to bring clarity, the reference scriptures that you mentioned does nothing to do with empowerment.
No. It's actually two separate events, Pastor.
Come on.
Okay. It's the one given easily, but it's powerful, Shabali. It's Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart
Amen.
That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
Tu já nesse ando yilo kanalesa li Christos ad Gaza sa scopitori. You know in your heart that you are saved because you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you. You on your own accord can't confess that. We read that in Corinthians, but this is the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, Pastor,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit works three ways. He first works around you. Declan kana before sana skapi me, friends, family, gajo would start to preach to you, and you would feel this drawing power, a gravity going toward the Lord. And then he works around you, and then, Doogie, he starts to work in you.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit starts to happen.
Amen.
You start to feel an inward change.
Amen.
The old habits go away easily. Amen. About your speech changes. And then there's a third result, and here it is. He starts to work through you again.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is where the empowerment, Pastor, comes in. The Bible says, oh, Jesus, now go to Jerusalem and wait till you are endowed with power, till you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the promise. And this part here empowers you for service. Dealt with a gifts, and then you start producing the fruit. So, yes, Pastor, it is two separate events.
Amen.
So, very good. Now, again, I don't want to leave the topic just yet.
Okay.
Okay, so there is a promise of the Holy Spirit that is to come. And it happened 50 days after Passover.
That's correct.
Okay. So 50 days, they were waiting for the promise. So from the ascension of Christ to Pentecost, how many days went by?
From the ascension up to Pentecost was actually 50 days. But it was Jesus. There's a lot of misconception that it was 50 days Jesus showed himself.
Correct.
No, it was not. It was actually 40 days.
Right.
So their lives was only 10 days in the upper room at the day of Pentecost.
Very good. Okay. So 10 days.
Yes.
Waiting for the promise.
That's right.
Okay. So these are disciples.
Amen.
Believed in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Seen the resurrected Jesus.
That's right.
Okay. And now are waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. I'm just going to throw a wrench in it. And those 10 days, are they saved or not saved?
Oh, yes. Wow.
Of course.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. They were saved for sure.
Okay.
For sure they were
so
saved.
I'm going to throw a wrench in it again.
Okay.
Okay. If any of them had to die within those 10 days, would have they went to heaven or went to hell?
I believe without a shadow of doubt through scripture, they are saved and they would have been
okay.
In the king's presence.
So just to clear it up, Angelo.
Yeah.
It's not a musai. It's not a must to speak in tongues to enter the kingdom of heaven.
No, sir. No.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think that's the point there. And thank you for saying that, Doogie. So there's a greater working of the Holy Spirit that I want everybody to listen to this.
Amen.
When your life changes, when you are transformed, when you don't like the same things you liked it yesterday,
Amen.
When your passions and desires change from fleshly and worldly point of views to loving the things that God loves,
Amen.
That for me is a greater part of the power of God working Amen. In our lives.
Amen.
So that we don't focus on these things that are truly external. The greater things is happening in the believer's life is what God is doing inwardly. Do I promote the fact that we need to be in the Word? Yes. Do I promote the fact that we need to deny ourselves and pick up our own personal cross? Yes, absolutely. So what I want to maybe clarify for the audience is that the speaking in tongues and the gifts of God are a result of salvation. They're not the cause of salvation.
Oh, very good. Very good, Pastor.
So in it, we have no other option but to express the fact that there are two encounters that are quite separate in Scripture.
Amen.
We just mentioned Acts, Pentecost, and of course, Paul's point of view when it comes to receiving and being baptized into the family of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Pastor, I have a question. So when a person accepts Christ, ipachal, and has accepted the gospel,
mm-hmm.
does the Holy Spirit live inside of them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that brings us to the true adoption and the true baptism of
Very
the body
good.
Of Christ.
Very
Even
good.
Even though we're many members, but we all have drink from one spirit.
Very good. And I wanted to read a passage of scripture, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit."
Perfect.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord.
So for the listener, if you have accepted the gospel, if you have accepted
Very
Jesus
beautiful.
And believe
Perfect.
In your heart, O Suinto Ducho Trail Andi Tuti. Amen.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Now the there's a separate event that happens in a born again believer's life.
Yes.
And it's the empowerment is what we Amen. Was talking about Amen. Here. And one of the things, why do we call it the empowerment? What does it give us power to do? Pastor, we know that, yeah, there's the gifts that come along with it. There's
Amen.
The tongues, there's prophecies, there's all of that stuff. Mm. But what does it give a Christian the power to do?
I believe truly the empowerment we have, again, the example of Scripture is that the empowerment is for the works of ministry.
Yes. Amen.
Exclusively.
Amen.
So I believe that where we fall short of this is that waiting for the empowerment to come first before we do anything.
Amazing.
And then what happens is that we have this concept of getting together in church and we worship, which is good and it's great. And I promote the fact I'm a pastor, for God's sake. I want people to come to church. But we got to be careful that we don't isolate ourselves only when it comes to the works of ministry, only to focus only in the building. If the works of ministry expands further, if as a matter of fact, the empowerment was for them to expand the ministry, not to isolate it in one place.
Very good.
So,
good point.
Go ahead.
As Koda was mentioning that to you, Koda, it came up in my spirit, Acts 4, 31, Penel Barasol. Now, this is after Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So Penel.
Yeah.
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Very
they was
good.
Going through
second
a persecution.
Encounter.
Yeah, second encounter. They was going through a persecution at this point. I really doubt it, Bilindi, Pastor. But they got together, the Bible says, and they prayed. And the Holy Spirit showed up again and empowered them. Gave them the boldness, Penelope Scripture called out. So the Holy Spirit really empowers us to give us that boldness to preach the gospel.
Very good, Angelo.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Amen. Amen.
I got a question. So we have this encounter. We encounter the Holy Spirit, the infilling. Is it a one-time thing? Is it something we need to continue asking? Is it something we need to stay in prayer with? What's your...
Well, I think one of the references was just given now in Acts chapter 4. And I want everybody to listen to this. I don't care who you are or what part of the world you live in or in this country. You are going to feel seasons that you feel that you're dry.
Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes it's for many reasons. Maybe it's an attack of the enemy. Maybe it's being discouraged to personal things that we go through. But one thing is true. God is faithful. And at times, and I'm going to speak for myself. I never want to take away that there was a first time, first love encounter that all of us received. And I pray that you are reminded in this episode that God begun a good work in you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And he didn't have an intention, and I feel maybe a lot of you might feel this way. Just because you don't feel him, it doesn't mean that he's not there.
That's right.
And I believe true maturity in the walk is not to walk by feeling, gentlemen, walk by faith. If we start walking by feeling, we're going to get in trouble. If the greater work that God did in my life was in silence. Amen. That's why I have the word. That's why I have a relationship with him. I don't want to act on emotion. Emotion can be dangerous. But when there's true relationship and you're truly rooted in the word and you're grounded in the word.
Amen.
Even though that you're going through something maybe drastically, maybe a lot of you that are listening are going through probably the worst season in your life. But the fact, the truth is that when we do works for the Lord, and thus we should, because how can one person contain such a great gift? How can one person contain such a great message? The Bible says that the gospel has the power to bring someone unto salvation. And that's exactly what the gospel is. So when we preach the word, and I'm going to speak as a servant, and like these men here, they're all servants. No one's greater than no one else. The Bible says that all of us have been distributed the measure of faith.
Amen.
So all of us are in the same place. I have to say this. There were seasons in my life that I felt dry.
Yeah.
As a pastor. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Amazing.
But that moment of my prayer room or at the altar in the church or my own prayer closet, God reminded me that I was called for a purpose and a season and a time, and it has to do with ministry. When there is vision, I believe God would always give the provision, that's either physical or spiritual. So Doogie, to answer the question, many times. I believe many times, and I will say good news to that. Because if you feel that you're encountering many times and being filled, that means that God is using you many times over. And I think that should be the objective and the goal. When it comes to being filled with God, again, to make it clear, Angelo, a summary, at least, a short summary into what we talked about to clarify this. I don't want to leave no one confused because this is something that is not tackled this way.
Yeah.
We include both of those encounters in one of the same. Oh, salvation is speaking in tongues, and that's the evidence. And I'm not saying those things cannot happen at the same time, right. But in scripture, in context, we look at them at both separate events. A summary, an overview, and I know Coley has another question beyond that.
Amen. Before I ask you another question, because I know I wanted to read something really quick, and I'm going to get to it now.
While Colin is getting ready, Angelo, quick overview. What we talked about so far out of these two encounters.
So we see it's the Holy Spirit, Gayaniltut Bogor. He's the one, Jesus said it, Pastor. He said that the Holy Spirit would come into the world to convict the world of its sin.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit that brings you unto salvation. And right there and then you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
But you know, Pastor, HHS, we have to be empowered. Mangolo dil, de dilame goja putyara.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, yes, of course, we're not going to feel an altar experience every single moment of our life.
I don't think it's something that we should chase. It's
right.
Great to
right.
experience, but Botivar Angel, I think people run to the altar for that
very good.
Experience.
Amen.
Yes.
They got maybe their eyes set on something.
Can I say something?
Come on.
I want to say this, and I promise, you know, this was not even planned, but I'm going to go with this. A lot of times, Doogie, in the Pentecostal movement, there is a sense of a movement where they're always chasing that feeling.
Yeah. Right.
And they go beyond of the Holy Spirit's work, I would say.
I agree.
And it gets to a point where they're chasing Gola Swa, or the feeling. And they want these real powerful encounters. But Odell, he wants to give you the faith at the altar and that experience at the altar, not just for the feeling, but to empower you, Kotar, to just properly abri and to witness for
Amen.
Him.
Perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Perfect. Amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on something we was talking about a little bit earlier, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to preach the gospel. And I could remember times where, but hey, I used to see people preach, or I used to go and see the pastors preach at Caravas. Devla, how do they get the sermons together? How does the wording come out so good? How could they preach to touch people's lives like that?
Amen.
And I would think to myself, Devla, could I ever preach your word like that? Could I ever squeeze scripture and get an understanding like that? And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that could happen. And here's a perfect example. Peter goes and denies Jesus three times. Daraylo, garajulas, But look what happens at the day of Pentecost. He stands up and preaches the gospel with boldness.
Amen.
Amen.
This is what the empowerment of the Holy Spirit would do. And I have a question for you. And then I have another question to follow.
And okay, no, listen.
I have a lot of questions.
This is all it's a podcast of questions.
So what must a person do to receive this and baptism of the Holy Spirit, Angelo? Hey. Because many people are wondering, I want this. I want to preach the gospel. I want the strength to preach with boldness. Wow. I want to speak in tongues. Wow. I want to have the gift of prophecy. I want all these things. What must we do?
Kolya, I think it's the most obvious answer. It's a gift.
What the?
That's right.
Perfect.
So I feel that here, I'm just going to come out of the box with this because I feel like it can get complicated if we go too deep into it. But the reality is there are many, maybe even the audience, that have a gift and don't even realize it.
Yeah,
that's right. Undiscovered gift.
Very good.
Undiscovered gift. So what happens is that it gets activated when you're fulfilling His purpose and His will.
Amen.
Amazing. Amen.
And sometimes there are things that are dormant in us. It's not because they're not there. They're isolated in this place where it has no purpose because of the way we live and then the way we walk, and we keep our atmosphere away from the purpose and the will of God.
My God.
And we can go all of our life. I'm gonna use a person as a reference, and this statement always stood with me. I don't necessarily believe many of these preachings. I remember him saying this in Azusa Street. It was Dr. Miles Monroe. And he comes up with a crazy introduction to his message. And he says, where do you think is the most richest place in the world? And, you know, some might say it's the diamond mines in Africa. Some might say the gold mines in Australia. So forth. And he gives all these crazy illustrations. I remember like yesterday. It's an old clip. You probably find it on YouTube. And he says, no, the most richest place in the world is the cemetery.
Wow. Mm.
Because he goes, how many people
amazing
have died with a dream, died with a gift, died with a vision that was never accomplished.
Mila.
And he goes, imagine if those graveyards could be cultivated overnight and every dream to come out and every gift that God has given could be cultivated and brought out if we had the ways to, which is impossible. But if we did, the world would change overnight. That stood with me.
Yes.
I says, how crazy that is. That there is a call, there is a purpose for us. But when we're not walking in the will never uncover what God wants to do with us.
Amazing.
Pastor, I want to share a note that I have. I preached a sermon a few weeks back on Ikangari, and this was my note. The believer can't have a dull ear to the voice of God and expect an empowerment of the Spirit in their lives.
Mm.
See, it takes that obedience. You really want to know what's that gift. It takes an obedience. It takes a desire. It takes a true commitment. Say, Lord, I want to know what's that gift you've given me. You want to cultivate that. You want to find out, hey, I want to know my purpose. I want to know my gift. And God wants you to know it. He's not keeping it from you, Kola. It's not as though it's a secret. No, He wants you to discover it. But the desire is there. But is your willingness and your obedience equal to that desire?
Absolutely. And that's the thing, I feel. It's generally when we're speaking, walking in the will of God, and I have to drop this on everyone, a lot of us are not walking in the will of God because we don't know the will of God.
Oh, wow.
So how can I uncover what you're saying if I'm not abiding by the scripture, if I'm not abiding by the word? Mm-hmm. So to know God's will is only the next step, is to walk in it.
That's right.
So to you, the audience, it begins with the simple approach. Lord, show me your word. Show me your will that you have, generally speaking, for what's the purpose of the church and also me personally. Right. What is the will that you have for me?
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
So, Pastor, I have another question for you.
Okay, question time.
It's a little tough one. In First Corinthians talks about the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Talks about miracles, tongues, healing, gift of healing, prophecy. So my question is this to you.
Okay.
Why in today's days we hardly see these gifts operate in the modern church today?
Amazing.
Okay. I'm gonna answer in twofold. Okay. Again, audience, all the respect. I respect every ministry, every minister. I'm gonna give this disclosure. So, I want to make sure that you're listening, that I'm not attacking anyone. I believe in Scripture. I believe that God is the same yesterday, He's the same today and forevermore.
Amen.
Tomorrow. I believe that the Scripture teaches me that God doesn't change.
Amen.
I believe that there is a type of teaching that lingers in the churches today that brings a huge amount of suppression by the leadership and believing that the gifts have ceased.
Mm-hmm.
I believe as leaders, as pastors, as ministers, as teachers, that we incline the fact that the people are only gonna listen and apply what we teach.
Mm, for sure.
If we don't teach the principles according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talks about the charismata, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're gonna find ourselves operating not fully as we ought to, because the Bible teaches me that this is it for the edification of the body of Christ. It is for the works of ministry. Again, we're talking about being empowered. We talk about having a gift of God that needs to be cultivated. If you presume to be around people that don't believe that there's a gift operating in the church today,
wow,
you will not be cultivated, even though that amazing, you might have a gift of God in you, because the lack of teaching and the lack of believing in this will bring us to a place of spiritual suppression, that you might have a gift of knowledge or wisdom or even prophecy. And because the leadership doesn't incline to teach you this and to cultivate this very gift in you, then you're going to find yourself not operating in something that God has gifted you already. This is not something new. Right. In the time of the prophets in the Old Testament, it was the school of the prophets in Rema, that every prophet that you know walked about in the school of Rema, because they knew that even though they were called to be prophets, they needed to be cultivated in the gift of prophecy. Wow. Not much has changed in the... Now, don't get me wrong. I believe there are the aspects of the gift of prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, might be different into the Old Testament prophets that were called, because they were, in fact, they were called judges.
Yeah.
But the function of the church today is operating in the gifts. Mm. And I believe that. Now, my second fold answer would be, it's got to do with doctrine. Straight up.
Very good.
And I don't want to beat around the bush with this, because there is a doctrine that believes in the ceasing of the gifts.
Yeah.
And this is not uncommon in any city. Now, so it is, right? Yeah. So I'm going to give a strong emphasis to believe not only that God does not change, but we're going to give a scripture that enforces the fact that the gifts in itself will not cease until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 actually speaks about this. So remember, the word in itself, charismata, or charisma is what the word. And I'm going to read to you the opening statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading from verse 6 if I can. Even as the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you, that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Him who also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, in whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, amen. The fact that I'm even using that as a reference, because the same word gift that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he lists the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, is actually the same word gift that is used in this verse, in verse 6 and 7. So he says that you come behind a no charismata, the gift of the Holy Spirit, until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So that means that this what he's saying is going to continue on until the Lord appears and to take away his church.
Wow.
So that's for me, that's going to be my reinforcing part. There might be some other interpretation with chapter 13 where it talks about the collection of the canon or the end of the age of the apostles, that we're no longer needed to operate in the gifts. But now, because there is scripture and there is witnesses, I thank God for witnesses.
Amen.
I thank God for testimonies. I thank God that when I read the scripture and I see it working in the church, it makes it so much alive because we're reading something that is over 2,000 years old and still operates today in the church. Doogie, I'm going to ask you because there's been some experiences.
There has.
By Apostle Aragon visiting and giving a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge that lines up exactly what we're talking about. Hey, this is, and I say this with humility, but at the same time, I want this to speak as a voice. This is Heart of Worship Ministries Houston. We're a full gospel, believing, Bible-based church. We believe in the Bible.
Amen.
And we believe everything that is in it.
Amen.
And I believe that when I say this, it brings a stirring up in my spirit because these very things that Paul speaks about to the church of Corinth, I believe he's still active in this ministry today.
Amen.
I believe that. Doogie, your encounter, and then I know it's been an amazing one. And it's not just one, if I can say,
countless.
But the most recent one, and I know your testimony is going to be heart-feeling with so many people. What has been your recent encounter pertaining to these gifts, Doogie? Go for it.
It's 3 days ago. I mean, you got 9 gifts here, right?
Right.
Pastor, I have to say, and I thank God, in the last maybe 2 months, 3 months, we probably experienced all of them, Angelo. And I think all you guys are witness to them. We've had our own encounters. There's been times you interpret tongues that I spoke.
Amen.
In the Word of God. Something recent. Pastor's overseer, Pastor Apostle Aragon, came and visited us this Sunday, just a few days ago. Actually, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm facing a personal issue in my personal life that I've been struggling with. It's nothing major, but it's enough to bother me to know, hey, this is not where I'm supposed to be at.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be dealing with this, Korea, you know?
Yeah.
And it was coming to the end of service, Korea, and, you know, did an altar call, you know, normal. So we do the altar call, and you just felt the Spirit of God just move at the altar.
Amen.
You know, I walked into church in a bad mood. I'm not going to lie. I was aggravated, just let my day get to me, my whole week. And I knew it was coming. you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And babe, the man just came to Meatu Mariburi, my wife Amanda, and Liam in Katarawas. And not 1, 2, or 3 specific things.
I was right next to you.
You was right next to me, Pastor. You had to translate.
Yeah.
of what I'm going through, and it's just amazing that God can use people in that way. And you know, you might see the gift of faith, the gift of healing, gifts of miracle, word of wisdom, knowledge, interpretations of tongues that might sound crazy to people, but I have to say,
until you experience it,
it's amazing. In my own personal experience, a few months ago, I was, going to an altar, and I feel these emotions that I know is not my emotions, Pastor. I'm seeing these things as clear as day, Angelo, and, you know, it wasn't something I was used to. So after service, I reached out to you, Pastor. I told you, hey, I'm going through this certain situation, and you just so happened to confirm that situation in this person's life.
Man.
And I thank God you showed me you showed me through the Word of God how to cultivate that even more, you know.
Amen.
So, you know, within a few weeks praying about it, and I can't believe because I feel so unworthy that God would choose me to
Amen.
To have the Amen. To experience one of these gifts, Korea. And it just so happened it was a few weeks later, we're at the altar, and you know, we got an altar call going. There's 100 people at the altar. It's absolutely beautiful. The Spirit of God's moving, and you know, God just draws my attention to somebody. And, you know, I'm not going to go into detail of the situation, but it was very personal what this person was going through, Pastor. And I left the church, like I seen it in third person, like I was there, a past situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to that person and I just, you know, I went and I just prayed for him, simple. God spoke through me and it was so detailed. And when I walked away, I was blown away. Like, I couldn't believe it. Walk away, no contact with that person for a couple days, right? Like, it was so in detail, like, I couldn't believe it.
Amen.
This person reaches out to me a couple days later, Angelo, and gets me on the phone. Doogie, I have to say something. Everything you spoke, how it happened, what I felt, what I was seeing, whatever it was, It was the night before, and it was spot on in everything I was asking God. And I mean, if you can't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's still working in His people, I mean, that was it. I was sold after that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Dovi, you said something that just caught my attention at the beginning of your story. You said, "I expected it."
Yeah.
Is that you know and you believe in these gifts?
What up?
My Dumut pastor, we used to hear of these gifts operating on the Kangara.
Yes.
We used to hear it. Angelo, Sunasas, Kodosas, Stilo, Kodo, that prophecy. But I could remember every week Java's on the Kangari, and we used to hear a prophecy in church. You remember those days?
Yes.
And Chima, the thing is, Chimaya Sunazakana. We don't see those things because of why? You said it, Pastor. Doctrine, false doctrine has come in and corrupted it.
I believe that.
Iomanus kai chipa chalin doesn't expect it. Doesn't expect the dikano prophecy. Doesn't expect to see a miracle. Doesn't believe in that chidikan.
I want to add something to it so that...
And they're missing out on a lot of...
And that's the thing.
Great stuff, man.
There is a great experience in
great
it, too.
Great experience.
And I want to bring balance to that, though, because we don't want to make just that the highlight.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not just that.
Right. So everybody is listening so that, you know, there's this extreme Pentecostal movement that's a Pentecostal Angelo that emphasizes on that.
Yeah.
But then I want to allow God to bring balance in all of it.
Amen.
So that's not the highlight, because I know some people are listening. Yeah, but these guys are like crazy. No one's crazy. I respect you and what you believe. I love on you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're my brother. You're my sister in Christ.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
No separation. Listen,
Amen.
One thing we're not is division.
No.
Amen.
Okay? But I have to say this to whoever's listening. There is a greater move that God wants to do in the church, in
Amen.
This nation.
Amen.
And I believe it's sleeping.
Amen.
I believe it needs to be awakened.
Amen.
And the man of God came yesterday across the other side of the world, and he said the very thing that I believe. There needs to be an awakening in the church.
Wow,
Amen.
Pastor, not to cut you off, but what he mentioned, I forgot where he said the people came from. The foreigners, the first guys.
Africa and Nigeria. And
let's just say Nigeria.
Yeah.
They said that they bring the foreigners from Nigeria into Australia. Baby Tsuria. They grew up and became teenagers, but Nigeria was still inside of them.
They're still acting like they were in their own country.
They were still acting like they was in a third world country. Why? Because of the elders that was around them.
Absolutely.
The people that taught, what the people that was teaching them, that came along with them, was pouring into them old stuff. And they're in a first world country. And babe, I'm thinking about us, Korea, doctrine, the ceasings of gift. It's simple. You know,
yes.
If it's not taught, it's not talked about, you're not going to know, and it's going to sound crazy to you, no?
Yes. Listen, I know it's been a loose podcast, and listen, all respect to everyone.
Amen.
We love. Listen, we respect. We're not trying to create a division or a discord, but I'm a minister, and I have to take guard of this, at least for the church that God has allowed me to pastor. And please... anyone that's listening to this, I find myself looking at every believer and saying with absolute love, I love you, I care for you. I don't, if anything, I believe we're lacking to express the fact that we find great division amongst the churches because of this disbelief to one another, and we treat people harshly because they believe different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should be, I don't think that's the remedy.
No.
Can we sit down with a common ground and say, hey, listen, look what the Bible believes that it shows me. And what does it show you? And this is the experience. Hey, listen, you can preach all you want. You can teach all you want. The evidence isn't what God is doing. And that's the fact. So to everyone out there, I hope this blesses you. We're going to keep on doing this. And maybe the topics are going to get bigger and they're going to get greater. And we're going to touch on some other areas. But we want it to be a blessing to you. And I'm not going to finish this podcast without saying, if you feel convicted, if you're being far away from God, if you feel that you're dull, me as a minister, I felt dull in the season. What's going to make you feel any different than me? These are experiences that we go through. Even a mighty Peter, at one time, he called him, upon this rock I shall build my church. And the next moment, he called him, adversary, get behind me. Believe me, there's fluctuations in our walk, but God uses it. So he molds us and shapes us into what he sees best fit.
Amen.
Don't ever deny the process. The process, it is the greatest blessing in your life. I think we can conclude, gentlemen. Anything else you guys want to add? Doogie,
sir,
Julia?
I think we're good.
We want to see some questions. I know there's some questions that I feel need to be answered in 5 pages. And then some questions, it could be a topic. So I'm going to make it more clear. If you have a question that you want answered, it might be something small, as something as, how does the gift operate? How do I know if I have it? How can I cultivate it? All these things become topical questions that we can bring here on the podcast. So pray about it. Let the Lord lead you. And whatever is the hunger in your heart, put it up on the board. There's the four of us and plus some other men. They're going to actually clip your comment. So if it's on this video, a direct message, either on podcast or on TikTok or Instagram, DM us and we would love to answer your question. God bless you. We're blessed that you are the audience that's listening to this. And without you, there is no program. So keep on watching, keep on forwarding, keep on reposting.
It means a lot. Amen. It really does.
Amen.
Any last remarks, gentlemen?
That's it.
All right.
God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.
Bless you.